Classic FM 97.3. It is time for Business Half Hour with Ugo Dre. He's in the studio with us. As usual, we have a guest, and he will get to introduce that guest. But it's good to have you. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
How are you?
Hi, Bukola.
I'm good. I'm good.
How was your weekend?
It was fine, thank you.
All right, great. Good morning, Lagos. How is everybody doing? It's a holiday week, so
yeah, okay.
I was leaving my house this morning, and I was like, where is everybody? Like,
it
looks a bit empty, yeah. So,
light.
Looks like, and of course, it's the summer holiday, so a lot of people are out of town.
And I'm sure it's going to be like that throughout the whole week because,
yeah.
You know, the third mainland closure.
Yes.
And once till 26th.
So
let's just have the week off.
Mm-hmm.
It's going
have
to be
a week
crazy.
Off.
It's going to be crazy navigating Lagos.
I know. So a lot of people, and the holiday is Tuesday, Wednesday. So people are just going to just wind down Thursday and Friday. Come on, let's just rest.
I think employers should understand because it won't be easy. You need to pack your night bag if you're coming from the mainland to the island.
That's where working remotely really makes sense. You know? These days, you got to start to learn how to work remotely.
We need
remotely.
To get on board.
All right, Lagos. Hope you guys had a great weekend. As usual on the show, Nairametrics brings you a special guest. Today I'm super excited to have a company that I kind of admire. I've been following them for a while. On this show, we've interviewed a lot of founders, interesting startups that are doing amazing things. And a common theme or challenge that I've heard from them, you know, revolve around logistics, right? You know, most of them complain about logistics.
Oh, delivery and all that.
Yes, like serious challenge for a lot of them. And I think this company is trying to solve that problem, right? So Lagos, let's get our guest introduce himself, his company, and what they do.
Shout out Lagos. My name is Chinedu Azado. I'm co-founder and CTO at Max. Max stands for Max.ng. We're making motorcycle taxis safe, affordable, and accessible to everyone on the continent. I'm super excited to be on here. If you haven't heard about us, you should. We do motorcycle taxis, as in Okada, and we do delivery. Today we're one of the biggest companies, if not the biggest, in the motorcycle fleet space. So yeah, super excited to be on here to share more about our experiences so far.
Yeah, good to have you here, Chinedu. Interesting. Logistics has always been a problem around,
absolutely,
especially doing business in Nigeria for a lot of companies. And in this age of e-commerce, it's like a major need. Like, we've had a lot of people sitting just here where you're sitting, and they're saying, look, logistics is a problem. I have to rely on one Okada guy. I'm sorry to just get four or three logistics companies that are running it and blah. So how did you come up with this, you know, idea? Where did this come from?
All right, cool. So my business partner, Tayo, is CEO. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We met at in grad school. I'm at East Sloan.
Okay.
And at the time, he had just come back from working at Conga. He was part of the team that rolled out Conga's logistics business.
Okay.
And he was super excited. I was like, dude, like, there's so much that needs to be done on the continent.
Mm-hmm.
They had to, like, Conga as a business has to build out the entire logistics system. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those things where we're like, look, he's like, look, I think I want to do this. Are you interested? Let's have a chat. We joined in starting a class project. And my next holiday, I decided to come back to Nigeria for about 6 weeks.
Okay.
And I was entering Danfo and Okada everywhere just to figure out, I mean, because my aunties had cars in the house.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not going to drive.
No, just see how.
Like, why is logistics so critical?
Yeah.
I lost 4 suits. I mean, I'm a big man. I'm 6'6", right? And you'd be hustling to enter front seat. If you don't enter that front seat, you're not sit down next to it was a mess, man. So we did that for about 6 weeks. And I came back. And obviously, during that time, you meet the guys at Conga.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All sorts of businesses, ask questions. And then I came back to school. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this. Like, let's make it happen.
There's a problem to solve out there.
There's a massive problem to solve. So, I mean, it was one of those
so
things
where... So you had to experience it to know what people
absolutely,
were saying.
Absolutely. Because it's one of those things where you look at the numbers. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm,
but you actually
mm-hmm.
have to feel the problem to know mm-hmm. why it's that important. So, I mean, commuting Lagos is very painful. It's
very painful. Yeah, it is. Not
it
easy.
Makes sense to me that people prefer to get things delivered to them where possible mm-hmm. than to have to go out and do everything by themselves. So, absolutely.
Great. So how long have you guys, you know, been in operation?
So we just turned three.
Three already?
Yeah.
Oh.
It feels like yesterday when we started, to be honest. So we just turned three. We started out August 3rd, 2015. We started out with a pilot.
Okay.
And we didn't proper launch till January 4th that year, the following year.
Yeah.
But I mean, considering we started the pilot till now, it's been about 3 years.
Okay, so, I mean, you relocated to Nigeria
yes.
to start this with your co-founder.
Yeah.
For a lot of people here, starting a business, especially those that have actually been in Nigeria, probably haven't even gone anywhere, right? Starting a business sometimes can just be very difficult. I think you really don't know where to go, where to start from. So for you, you have to come here, get a feel of you know, logistics or transportation around Nigeria so that you can figure out what you're trying to solve.
Exactly.
But in starting the business, where did this, how did you decide to start? I mean, did you start, you want to register a company first or come up with a business name? I mean,
But to be honest, we started working on this as a class project in September of 2014. It was just one of those class projects where you want to get a, I wasn't involved in the class. I was just the guy who knew how to do financial model and knew how to write code, who was super excited about everything African.
Yeah.
So Tayo was in the class with a team of about four people and I would join in on the meetings and help out. And I'm like thinking, maybe I should get A for this class too.
Really?
I mean, I did that. So we did that, and then it was December, because slowly you have from 2 weeks in December and then the entire month of January
to
go out and like experiment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 6 weeks was when I took off and came back to Nigeria to like really see how far. And man, the far was really far. So that was really how that worked out. So I mean, in terms of whether we should register the company or not, we already had like a lot of stuff done. We had built software. We had MOUs or LOIs, letters of interest, from a couple different businesses that we felt were big enough for us to work with. And we had even applied to Textiles New York, and we're waiting to hear back from them. And just look, like, no matter what the case is, let's just get out there and just start working. So we jumped back to Nigeria, and 2 weeks before we came back, or a month before we came back, I realized, oh my God, we don't have a bank account. So we have to bank account. Called some lawyer friends to help us do like a registration, and some of that stuff came out just as we were coming back, so that was nice. But in terms of what to do first, we already had like business plans, business
and all that. But was there like any funding waiting for you, or did you guys bootstrap
and
all? So your own cash. Was it like money you saved in school or money from family and friends?
Money from family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And money that we saved. We each put in about between $30,000 and $40,000 each to start.
That's a lot of money to start with.
That's a lot of money. But it's a lot of money, but if you saw us, you wouldn't know that we were putting that kind of money.
We're not
spending it like that.
Yeah.
It was more a thing of, we don't know where our next injection will come from. Let us drag this money.
Yeah.
We're very, very good at cash.
But at that point, the family and friends think you guys were crazy. Like, I mean, like, why are you throwing this to that kind of money? Why do people look for a job? I sent you the MIT to that read. What are you doing?
You know, I'm pretty sure my dad used to look at me and think, ha, God, where did I go wrong with this one? The reality was, I mean, my mom in particular always knew I wanted to come back and do business, right? And come back and like be super impactful. The plan was always go to Yankee, develop yourself, come back to Nigeria and like invest.
Yeah.
Right. I used to have like sleepless nights. I'm not gonna lie. Like that decision, I mean,
tough,
today was one of the best decisions I made. But oh my goodness,
back, it wasn't that easy.
Let me see. 2015, January when I was in Nigeria and all that stuff. We actually went to the village for like a week. That whole period, right? And I was sitting in the parlor like one old man, pensive and just thinking. And my mother would pass, say, please give Chidi that food. I said, please give him food. He's thinking about his life. Let him eat. I'll wake up sweating.
Oh,
my mother would be like, are you okay? My mother would be like, hey, just give him anything. He's trying to ready his mind. And
like, that's what he's joining into.
It was an ongoing joke. Like, my mom was cracking. He's trying to ready his mind. But I mean, it was challenging, but I do not regret it. But to be honest, I was scared, man.
I was mad.
So she encouraged you.
She encouraged me. She absolutely encouraged me. And then my dad, you know, he was cautiously optimistic. That's what I think. I mean, I don't know if he will agree with me, but I felt he was cautiously optimistic.
Was he really sure, like, right, this is really
he's like, I'm just putting much money for you to go to graduate school. I mean, sure, it could have been more expensive, but we thank God, right? You really sure this is what you want? I'm like, yeah. What is this? What is this? Like, oh my God! I'm just thinking, this one has carried his Moses Kolua. I was going to come and do this. Anyway, God has like oversight over my
mind. Yeah. So if you guys out there who probably listening to you now and contemplating whether they should, you know, probably do something like this, like risk it out, what would
she
you say
to them?
Ready your mind.
Should they just enter like
what
that?
What are the past guys? Ready your mind. I mean, for real, like. So I feel like Nigeria is not for everyone, right? There's some people who are comfortable with the hustle and bustle. I mean, think about it. Our business now, especially, we do like a lot of Okada business now, right? So that means
really tough.
And I can't speak Yoruba, so that's like when my Yoruba speaking, now do ginger, right? I think anyone who's thinking about making that kind of transition, you should have a plan.
Yeah.
And not a plan based off of somebody else's plan. You should have a plan based off of your plan.
Very important.
You have to be street smart. You have to, like, I have a lot of friends who want to move back to Nigeria. When I'm moving back. They move back 2 months, 3 months. Water pass guy, they move back.
They just go back, man. This city is too tough.
You're like crazy, man. I ain't doing that.
But do you think that's an advantage or a disadvantage? The fact that you have to ready your mind. I like what your mom said there. You know, Nigeria gives you this toughness. Yeah. It builds your resilience.
Well, so Nigeria builds your resilience. The question is, do you need to suffer that kind of suffer to build resilience? Mm. Right? I don't think that's a necessary thing to do. Right. And I think it's because of the way the system is set up that people have to be that way.
Mm.
Right. But you can't move to Nigeria or you can't move back saying, oh yeah, it'll work out. You should have a plan.
Okay.
Usually that should mean for people who are not maybe coming back to do entrepreneurship, you should actually have a job that pays well.
Mm.
Before you move back.
Right? Mm. So that you're not, because you...
So are you suggesting you can't just move back and just start, become an entrepreneur immediately?
No. You can move back and become an entrepreneur if that's your plan.
Yeah.
If your plan is just to move back, right? Have something
you gotta have something you're moving back to,
right?
Yeah,
don't say I will find it when I get, especially if you don't have an American passport or like a passport. Don't open your mouth and say things like, yeah, I'll find it when I get it. You go from earning $100,000 a year to $20,000 if you're lucky, right? It's quite,
and you probably have deals to pay over there.
Exactly.
All right, so let's move to Max now. Okay. And all, so you guys have been doing this for 3 years now.
Yeah.
In terms of the business model, how do you guys make money out of this? Because I mean, I'm sure someone is listening. I'm like, okay, Okada, guys, I think Okada. Is it like, did you sell Okada, or where's the money in here?
Okay, so we make money a couple of ways, but I think a key way for us that we make money from is commissions.
Okay.
So think about it. Today we're about to roll out, I think, about 58 more drivers. So that would get about 648 drivers now.
Wow, already nationwide or in Lagos?
Just in Lagos.
Okay.
We have a very hyper local focus.
Okay.
So that gives us 648 drivers. And what that looks like, this is how we make money, really down to commissions. There are a few other things that we do, especially around like asset financing, partnerships with suppliers.
Okay.
We also make money from. But that helps us make a lot of money. I mean, we're doing a couple thousand orders and rides a day. So for every single ride, we're taking something off the top. That really goes out to paying for like the operations, the marketing, and going up the platform, the technology, staffing, all that stuff.
So one of the challenges people would always say with startups is that, look, you know, bleed a lot of cash over the next two, three years. So almost every other quarter, you know, investors are probably pushing in money in there to just stop the hemorrhaging. So for Max, is it that kind of level now, or is it at the level where, okay, there's enough revenue to cover operational costs, even though there's probably no profit down the line, or probably reinvesting in there to grow the base? What would you say, where are you currently in terms of?
There's definitely enough revenue to cover most of the cost of the business.
Okay.
But the thing is, we're, as a business, we're focused on growth.
Yes, right? Very important.
That growth phase where when you're building a company, there's some company called product market fit.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the point where we feel we've hit a good amount of product market fit.
Okay.
And we're really just focused on now really blowing this up and scaling up aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what we're doing now is essentially investing more into the business, bringing on different kind of partnerships to help us roll out more vehicles on the platform. Be able to do more around driver storytelling as well, so people actually know how our drivers are working. I mean, so a key part of our business is we're not just like here to make money. A key part of what we do is heavily focused on social development.
Yeah.
If you look at some platforms today, you'll see that there's a three-way split in the money where somebody takes commission, somebody takes another commission because they own the asset,
yeah,
and then the driver is left.
And
at the end of the day, the driver makes what, 50,000, 60,000 a month. We have drivers, most of our drivers make at least 80,000 a month.
Not bad.
And that's if you're like more of an average driver. The high performers are making 200,000 plus every single month.
Mm.
And why that is because we focus heavily on minimizing how many people are in that commission sharing space, so that drivers take more home and can be happier. But what that also means is that we now have, as a business, have to play on the asset financing side, which is very capital intensive. But something we've been able to do well is essentially manage our money very aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
And also position properly to allow us to raise a good amount. So for example, for our seed round, we did about $1 million. We also went on to take about $300,000 in grants from Shell Foundation.
Good.
Really nice for us. Mm-hmm. And they've been super helpful around the health and safety aspect of our business and just developing that. Right now, we're in due diligence with a couple of funds, and we should complete our Series A soon.
So for a lot of your assets, do you own them or do you lease them quickly?
It's a mix. We guarantee them.
Okay.
So we don't directly own them. We have asset financiers who own them.
Yeah.
We guarantee the assets, and then when the assets get paid off by the drivers, then they can.
Drivers. Yeah. All right, Lagos, we've been talking to Max.com. Max, if you know them,
Max NG.
So Max, a logistics company based in Nigeria, Lagos especially, and Bukola?
Yes, we're about to take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us. It's Classic FM 97.3. It's all about being optimistic, and yes, he was optimistic.
Yes. I mean, like, there's nothing like starting a Monday morning with an exciting entrepreneur, man. I think we'll have one on the show today. I was asking if he was being an MC before, but, like, he's been so relaxed at all. Mm. All right, man, so let's go a bit more into Max. So I want to believe, you know, you talked about scaling a moment ago, and, by the way, Lagos, we're talking to Chinedu, co-founder of Max NG. You should check them out online. A logistics company. So you were talking about scaling.
Yeah.
For you, logistics is also beyond, you know, having bikes around. So there's a lot of stuff. So there are trucks, big trucks, rail. I mean, where does this end for you guys? What's the horizon?
I mean, to be honest, nobody knows tomorrow, right?
So you just started with the basics first, your Okada one first. Let's just handle your Okada side.
Just focus on the Okada side. I mean. The thing is this, we've built technology that allows us to do literally anything we want to do.
Hmm.
And we're happy to, like, license that out to people to use for rail, freight and trucking, if that be.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of us going into those things, that's something I don't really see happening for, like, at least another year, another 2 years.
Mm. 2 years, that's short.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm saying I don't see us. Who knows what? I mean, 3 years is a long time in startups because can decide that.
But logistics is big, though. I mean, like there's hardly any company who doesn't need logistics services.
Absolutely.
Even the very big ones. I mean, like, I'm talking about blue chip Nigerian companies who have supplies around the country.
Yeah.
So they all deal with all sorts of logistic issues. So, I mean, like, this is a business that you can scale to any level.
Absolutely. Logistics is big in that sense. I agree. The problem with logistics is also very, very big. And it's one of those things where you have to decide, am I ready to collect all the
wahala? Or can I just select
small as I go? I mean, think about it, right? We have people who've come to us and said, guys, if you do trucking, I'll give you $5 million. I'm like, ha, we'll say $5 million master. But like, why would I want to do that? When you look at, we already deal with a lot of motorcycles, trying to get them in place, you know, the kind of drivers. And you look at something
so it's quality first. You just don't want to grab.
It's not about quantity. Mm. It's about quality. Get the right things in place. So what a lot of startups do that I find interesting and unfortunate is they focus on, let's get as many customers as possible. Let's tell everybody about the service. And they don't focus on optimizing and fixing the services properly. So they tend to scale problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is our Nigerian market. If you put $200 million, it will suck it like it was never there. We straw and clean his mouth.
I'm telling you.
So you have to.
Everybody just goes boom.
like now you see it, now you don't.
The problem is that we have to spend the money on it.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where you have to like shine your eyes and open your eyes. And for us, it's more focusing on the right, making sure we do the good job around the quality, making sure we have the right systems in place so we can scale up, right? Imagine trucking 30,000 tons of something that's worth 100,000 naira per ton.
Hmm.
And the driver disappears with the truck.
I'm telling you. Or just think your car goes slow or I fall.
But they
know
that's where insurance comes in.
Oh, shit. Go and collect insurance.
But I kind of like I like your execution plan, though. So you're basically, you know, let's just deal with the ones that we can deal with.
Yeah.
Master that one, and then you can gradually just scale into other things. I mean, like, you're here for the long term, isn't it?
Exactly.
So it's not really a short-term stuff.
I mean, so what we're trying to do as a business is build an institution.
Yeah.
Right? There are not a lot of institutions in Nigeria where what happens is, like, if the founders move on or somebody, it's like, decide they're done with this, the business just packs up. That's not what we're trying to do.
Okay.
What we're trying to do is to build a system that leaves us generations and generations over, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, look at Unilever today, where they are. Look at Nestle as a business. Look at Coca-Cola.
I mean, they've been there for like generations. Like,
Look at all these household names, right?
Yeah.
I want that in 200 years, when you look up Max, see our founding fathers, and they talk about Chinedu, they talk about Tayo and what he did about the business and how the business was able to grow because of the leadership.
So
we're here for the long term.
All right, I mean, like, it's not been all rosy, man. I mean, like, I know it's just
absolutely.
3 years. It's just 3 years, but I mean, 3 years is a lifetime as a business owner in Nigeria. You know, I mean, in fact, 90% of business in Nigeria die in their first 5 years. I mean, like, so this is third year already. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much.
What has been your biggest challenge? I mean, like, that you have to deal with everything. Like, sometimes you just say, I don't tire. As somebody just tells you, no worry, we don't go tire.
Push out. I mean, so it's interesting that in this business, the biggest challenge has also been the biggest source of joy, which comes down to the drivers. When you think about it, right, if you had the best quality drivers everywhere in the market, nobody would need companies like us, right? So we do a lot of work in like screening drivers, profiling them. So we have something we have in-house called the psychometric system, where we recruit drivers and do psychological profiles to figure out who's a good fit for the job, who's not a good fit for the job, or what are the risks with each particular driver. And essentially having that in mind as we communicate with these drivers has helped us as a business to, one, improve driver retention, and just generally have like happier customers, because you have happier drivers, you have happier customers.
Sure.
The flip side is, when drivers are mad, they're really mad. Mm. Like, there's no half measures with them. Kulo is a thing. In Nigeria, I mean, like in America, everybody's mental health, everybody's very aware. In Nigeria, they are very, a lot of mad people, but few are rooming, right? So it's one of those things where you have to be consistently working to make sure that these guys are happy and they're doing what they're supposed to do. So they're it's weird, they're double-edged sword, where on one side, they're a fantastic source of inspiration and joy, And on the other side, they can just be really difficult. And it's one of those things where you have to continue to manage and balance as a business to grow.
Interesting that you mentioned drivers. I mean, one would have thought regulations was a problem. So in your industry, is it one of those industries that are very tightly regulated? I mean, or is it, you know, it's competition or old competition out there trying to stifle your growth? I mean, do you have any challenges around that?
I mean, so regulation is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Regulation is a challenge. Old businesses are a challenge. But the reality is this, we have such a fast-growing country and a fast-growing economy.
There's room for everybody anyway.
Exactly, there's room for everyone. So yes, these things are challenges. And what we just do is to continue to build our systems in ways that allow us to navigate and work within the system as is, right? While focusing on because if there are things that you can control. So if regulation is an industry problem,
mm-hmm.
it's an industry problem.
Exactly. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right?
Yeah.
But if a driver is a specific business problem, that's something you can solve. So for us, when we think about challenges, that's really how we like to think about it. Things that are changeable versus things that are not changeable. Because, I mean, think about it. Regulation. Am I going to go and spend whatever hundreds of billions of naira of money to go and start lobbying government and
government
what
and
they should do?
Mm-hmm.
Let that one solve itself. Right, we'll get there.
All right, so I mean, time is almost up. Gosh, on this show, geez. Anyway, let's look at your the company and the setup of your company. Employee wise, you know, how fast are you guys growing? Are you in double digits now, or approaching, you know, three digits? And that's one. And two, for you, work life balance and employee culture, where do you guys stand? You know.
Okay, so we're just under 70 people.
Okay.
In terms of staff, excluding drivers and max.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Direct jobs.
Yeah, direct jobs.
Yeah.
We're just under 70 people. We have a lot of other people that we provide support to. So we have people who we serve work lunches to our staff.
Okay.
We have all these businesses who supply us. And the companies that we work with, we have 3PL logistics partners who come work with us.
Mm-hmm.
We serve some of our customers. So that's that.
So is it a relaxed work environment? Do you guys dress down? Do you guys?
Relaxed. It's more relaxed. I mean, you come to the office, I'm typically going to be wearing traditional.
Okay.
Monday to Friday.
Okay.
And if I'm not wearing traditional, I'm going to be wearing jeans. If I'm not wearing jeans, I'm going to be wearing shorts.
Okay.
So you don't have
all those very strict rules around, tie, jacket.
It's not a
tucked in.
I mean, but if you have people, if you're going out to work to,
say
client meeting,
yeah,
you have the way you must look.
Yeah,
you
dress code.
You can't attend those meetings. I mean, there's only so much leeway that you can have, right? So yeah, we're going pretty fast. We have a pretty large team. I mean, by any standards, it's shocking because a few months ago, we were literally about half the size that we are now. We've had 4 months ago.
Mm.
We've had 20 people coming in that particular period. And it's not that they're coming and leaving, they're coming and staying. But that's because you have a lot of growth happening as well
inside
of the business.
Profiling for you, what is it like? Like, I mean, who's a typical Max employee?
There's no typical Max employee.
Mm.
So there's something we say at work, right? We... And you respond, why? And I say one Nigeria, you say one nation. I say one house, you say one family. We push transparency, integrity, initiative, and partnership.
Mm.
And as long as you're able to adapt to those kinds of values, you'll be able to work with us. I mean, because we're a very family-type business, very, very friendly, very, very easygoing. So most people can come in, and there's room for everyone. I mean, even you talk about work-life balance. So this year, for me, it's been a year where I've just tried to make sure that, look, because we've done this for 3 years now, and one of the things were like, oh my God, I haven't taken a vacation. I at this rate, I'm going to literally walk myself into the ground and be like, how did I miss out on all the other things in Lagos? So now I play American football with the Shitsuke flag football team.
Right? Nigeria here?
Yes, now. Check us out on like Instagram, Panthers flag football. And it's super exciting to just be able to do all these kind of things in Lagos. Yeah.
All right, great. So Lagos, you've been listening to Business Half Hour with Naira Metrics. We've been speaking with Chinedu Azodo, co-founder of Max Delivery NG. So we like to close the show with, you know, a parting shot. I mean, what's that watchword for you?
Okay.
You want to share?
So I think we actually mentioned.
I feel like you didn't drop.
Yeah, I feel like we already mentioned this earlier in the show.
So what was it?
I'm going to let you say it this time.
What was it, Buka?
Ready your mind.
Ready your mind.
So Lagos, you got that. Ready your mind. Eh? All right, my Chidi. Thanks for coming around.
Thanks for having me.
Nicola?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. So I'm getting ready to ready my mind.
Ready your mind.